News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the manhunt for a gunman who murdered the CEO of United Healthcare, Brian Thompson, on a New York City street this week. Correspondent Meg Oliver says investigators have come up with new clues.
A law enforcement source says police believe the gun used in the shooting was a BNT Station 6 pistol. They're now scouring gun dealers in Connecticut to see where it was bought. The suspect used a coffee cup shortly before the shooting. That was found in a garbage can outside and was dusted for fingerprints.
I'm Stacy Lynn. After the murder of United Healthcare CEO, there's been a spotlight on divisive insurance decisions. And now Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is now reversing course on a controversial policy that would limit coverage of anesthesia.
Two kindergartners remain in critical condition after they were shot at a Christian school in Northern California. Butte County Sheriff says the gunman struggled with mental illness.
He held some kind of belief that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was involved in genocide and oppression of Palestinians.
The gunman shot himself to death. CBS News has learned President Biden is considering issuing preemptive pardons during his waning days in office for some of President-elect Trump's biggest critics. One possibility, Senator-elect Adam Schiff, who may be against it. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
In a recent interview, Schiff suggested that such preemptive pardons are a bad idea and unnecessary, that ultimately federal courts would block any attempts by the president-elect to prosecute any of his perceived rivals.
Northern Californians shaken up by a 7.0 earthquake.
A tsunami warning was ultimately canceled. It's still jarring to some, especially this business owner near San Francisco's Marina District, who sent employees to higher ground.
Everybody panicked a little bit, and we decided to close the store.
The potential for a tsunami also stirring the curiosity of others.
I was scared, but I was also really interested. And, you know, I've never seen a tsunami. I've seen them all on TV.
Mike DeWald for CBS News, San Francisco.
No major damage or injuries reported. The monthly jobs report is out in half an hour. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
In November, the expectation is we'll bounce back to 180,000 jobs and that the unemployment rate will remain at around 4.1%.
It's the end of an era for an economic powerhouse tour. Taylor Swift wraps up her almost two-year-long Eras Tour with three shows in Vancouver this weekend. Hers is the first tour to gross over $1 billion. The final number could be more than $2 billion. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles with the quick news update. It's a $3 billion expansion in Kenosha County for Eli Lilly. The pharmaceutical company is adding on to its Pleasant Prairie facility to boost production of diabetes and obesity medications. It'll create 750 new jobs. Construction is set to start next year. A Kenosha High School student appeared in court remotely yesterday after being charged with bringing a loaded gun to school. Prosecutors are trying to transfer the case to adult court. The 16-year-old remains in juvenile detention, facing multiple charges, including making terroristic threats. Racine County voters will head to the polls on December 19th for a special election to choose a new county executive. The election features candidates Wendy Christensen and Ralph Malicki. Early voting options are available. And Burlington has their big Christmas parade today. It'll lead to road closures in that downtown. The parade starts at 6:30 and ends with the mayor lighting the Christmas tree in Wemhoff Square. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converted that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 30 this afternoon. The wind west at 15 to 25. Tonight, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 43. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
All we do is argue. That's it. We was boyfriend and girlfriend. We was happy. And now all we do is argue. You ever argue with a female, and in the middle of the argument, you no longer feel safe? You know what I'm talking about? Because of her actions, like she might start pacing back and forth real fast, breathing out her nose. You know what my girl do? When she get mad, she start talking in the third person. That's scary as hell, because that's her way of telling me that from this point on, she not responsible for none of her actions. I'm serious, though. It's like she forget that she real for like 5 minutes. She just start yelling, you know? You know, Kevin, you know what your problem is? See, you don't think Tori crazy, do you? Baby, I thought you was Tori. see, you think she playing, huh? Wait a minute. I got so scared, I start talking in third person. No, Kevin, don't. He don't think she playing. He just don't know where she at. It's dark in here. He can't see her. He don't like this game. He don't want to play this no more.
Today, we're going to change something on here. On this little thing we're supposed to be reading, it says, for 97 years, WRJN has provided local news and now timeless hits. I'm going to write 98 on there today. I'm always confused about this. Tom Karko is here, along with Janet Hoff. They worked here between the three of us. I think we got about 100 years in this place.
Yeah, we're that old.
It's about between the three of us. Oh, look at that picture. They found my picture. My card recently, I think they threw it out. But they recently had it. It looked terrible. Those pictures look good, though. Yeah, look at you guys.
That's because we saved them.
Yeah. They found it here in some dark corner of the building when they were cleaning something.
That's surprising it was still there.
So we're 98 years old. Now, we're 98 years old. I always have a problem. Now, is this our 98th year coming up?
The radio station began December, the first broadcast, not the official broadcast, but the first broadcast was December 6, 1926.
Now, why does the license in the lobby say December 7th, 1926?
Because that's probably when they made it.
Oh, so it...
It was December 6th.
So the first day was illegal?
Well, you got to remember that was the Wild West of radio at the time.
And everybody could put on a frequency.
You could put a frequency on and then, yeah. So we won a radio station, so here it is.
And that's literally true. Based on all the information that I have found looking through newspapers and documents, it was crazy back then. They were giving stations to anybody who asked for them.
And the problem was the frequencies were banging into each other.
Yes.
And that's where they had to put some kind of order in this thing.
Right.
Because there were people, they couldn't hear anything because there were too many stations on the air.
And that happened a number of times with this station because it didn't start out at 1400, the legendary frequency. It was 1370 before that.
I didn't know that.
It was 1200 before that. It was 1210 before that. They were all over. Everybody had to adjust based on what was the Federal Radio Commission back then making decisions.
When I first got into radio, there was only one station in America on the 1200 frequency. It was WOAI out of San Antonio, 50,000 watts non-directional.
We used to call those flamethrowers.
Yeah. And they were the only station in America on 1200. Then they changed things around. Other stations kind of added to it. Okay, so WRJN was not called WRJN when it first came on the air. What were the call letters?
The first call letters that were actually for this station were WLBG, Larry Boy George. Okay? I do not know why those letters were used. I cannot find anything. In all the work that I've done, I have not been able to find why those particular letters. That lasted about a week. And here's, they were basically temporary letters, but I still don't know why. Then about a week later, they changed to WRRS, standing for Racine Radio Station.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, how clever, yeah. took a long time to think those up, yeah.
Those call letters had been sought by the people who were putting the station together back in 1926. That was the Journal Times with Frank Starbuck, the publisher of the Journal Times at the time, the Journal News at the time. Two gentlemen out of Illinois who were engineers, Frank Leventhal and Harold Witt. They got together, and basically with the financial backing of the newspaper, they put this radio station on based on an event that had happened in November of that year, which was a gathering at Memorial Hall. It was a cooking, baking, homemaking type show. They wanted to showcase radio because radio was just really popping into the people's consciousness all across the country. So these gentlemen out of Illinois came up here and they had equipment to do it, a transmitter. And they did some discussions, and they set up a broadcasting location at Memorial Hall during this event, and it lasted for a week. Now, it was not continuous broadcasting like you know today, 24/7. It was sporadic, little programs here and there. And that's what they did for a week. Different people, different musical acts, different performers. They did that during the week, and they got great response to it. And then there was the discussion, let's do a real radio station and set it up in Racine. And that's what they did.
Let's play some of the cuts here. Stan Fisher's up first. Who's Stan Fisher?
Stan Fisher was an engineer at this location. He was from 1933 to 1969. He was chief engineer from 1955 until his retirement in 1969. Stan Fisher, along with Lee Deccan, who was the chief engineer before him, they put together just a lot of the equipment that got this station going. Downtown Racine is where the location first was, in the arcade building. Then secondly to the Hotel Racine from 1927 to 37. 37 to 57 on the third floor of the American Bank building, which is now the RAM, Racine Art Museum. And then from 57 to here. But this Stan Fisher was downtown and here. This is Stan Fisher talking about what they had to do.
Well, we had to build our own equipment. We built the studio equipment. We built the transmitter and put up our own antenna. And when we started out, we were the transmitter was on the roof of the hotel, Racine. And our studios were on the third floor. Well, obviously, we couldn't see the announcers. So we had to signal them with a light. And we talked to him on a telephone. And we used to put on, maybe a half hour, 1 hour plays. And we put the sound effects on the air from up on the roof and transmitter section there. And we had to follow a script, and sometimes it got a little mixed up.
So that was Stan Fisher, chief engineer.
Yep.
And what year was he talking about there? You know?
Oh, for that particular year? No, yeah. I do not know. That was an interview that Stan did, I believe, with Don Edmark, who was the first news director of the standalone news operation at WRJN.
Now, you said the station was in the American Bank building at one time. That's the one that Dillinger robbed.
Right.
Now, were we in the building when Dillinger robbed it? I don't know what year he robbed the bank.
No. 1933 is when he robbed it.
And we were there.
November of 33.
We just missed it?
We were about a block away.
Okay.
But you got to remember that the radio station relied on what the newspaper provided pretty much for local news.
Yeah. Didn't you say you went up there one time?
I did.
And the room is still there?
No. No.
Oh, you said it wasn't there.
No, there's nothing there referenced the
No, I bet the room itself is still there where we broadcast from?
No.
Oh, it's not there?
In the Racine Art Museum building? Yeah. No, that's all gone. But I did, and this was kind of, this is the kind of weird things that I've done over the years. I brought some of the voices who were in the radio station on those days, those years. I brought them on a digital recorder with me to the bank building as they graciously gave me a tour just to look around to see if there was anything. And there's no semblance of being a radio station being there.
Now, we were also in Burlington and West Dallas.
There were studios in Burlington.
What were they thinking?
And ironically, December 6th of, I wrote it down. There's so much information. It's like my head's going to explode. There's so much. And I have learned so much about this place since I retired, since we retired. When we were working here, I didn't know that much. Now I know so much, and I'm still learning things. I'm still looking. But the Burlington operation was December 6th of, 19, it's 85 years on this date.
Wow. Okay.
So 85.
Toward the beginning.
Do the math. Yeah. They can't do math at, this time of the day.
Ever.
Wow.
But yes, Burlington, there were studios of West Dallas, South Milwaukee. They had basically a Milwaukee operation.
I mean, full studios?
Yeah. A studio. Nothing like this.
Yeah.
By the way, I love what you've done with the place.
We cleaned it. Got new furniture.
Yeah, that's true.
Got a coat rack.
Got some people in there. Yeah. It's really
nice.
Got
a lot of people in the building now.
It's really nice.
It's like the old days with people running everywhere around the building.
It's nice to see the operation continues as it gets closer to that big 100 mark, hopefully.
Who's Ken Hegard?
Ken Hegard is...
Okay, he was a staff announcer from 1932 until 1943, so he was here for a while. He went on to a successful career in Milwaukee area as in advertising, and he did two programs, Say It for Cash, and he also did The Opinion of the Passerby.
Radio stations actually gave away cash?
Yeah, like, $2. Whatever.
Let's listen to Ken here.
Back in the early days, around 32, 34, 35, we were doing live radio dramas. We had a service that provided scripts for us, and three or four of us would get in the studio. I remember Dick Conrad then was our program director, and we'd have a girl or two, and we'd have the dramas on radio. Mysteries, comedies, and the three or four of us would take over and do 10, 12 different parts in a half hour or 15 minute script. Then on Saturday nights, I can remember a request program. Ray Gruis was the pianist, and we'd take phone calls right in the studio from people, and then he'd play little parts of the music that someone had ever requested, and maybe mention their name on the air, that it was their anniversary or birthday, whatever it was. Then we had another program at night. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday nights, and it was called Say It for Cash, I think was the title. And we'd dial or go through the phone book and pick out a number and call them, and if somebody could identify the song we played right then, why, we'd give them a dollar. And if we didn't award at that time, we'd jump it up to another dollar. Pretty big giveaway in those days was $15 or $18, and that was quite a prize for somebody to get. That goes back quite a while.
Oh, a whole dollar.
Well, in today's, so let's see, by inflation, that's probably, yeah.
We're talking to Tom Carco, Janet Hoff. We turned 98 years old today. It's our anniversary, and more coming up. More fun, more clips and everything. That's all straight ahead here at WRJM. But first, here's Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Are you a fan of Undead Hordes? Listen up. Call of Duty Black Ops 6 is offering a free trial of the game December 13th through the 20th for multiplayer and zombies. Not quite sure what that means, but they sure sound fun to pretend to shoot. The game will have new maps with names like Hacienda and Nuketown Holiday and feature new weapons. Activision says the game has already broken sales records in the first 30 days, and the free trial is expected to hike up profits even more. Things are really heating up on The Masked Singer. The quarterfinals are in the books, and Goo's identity has been revealed. It was LA Rams defensive tackle Kobe Turner. Jenny McCarthy guessed the identity of Goo, who narrowly lost to a character named Strawberry Shortcake. Folks, if you are not watching this show, drop everything you're doing and keep not watching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete tonight on our sister station, WAUK AM 540.
Did you know there are several alternatives to having neck, back, or knee surgery to relieve pain and mobility issues? Racine Disc Center offers non-surgical spinal decompression, robotic laser therapy, and more. The results are amazing, even in patients who have already tried chiropractic, physical therapy, or injections. So before you check into the hospital, check into RacineDiscCenter.com or the clinic on Rapids Drive, just east of Gulf Avenue, for a free consultation. Racine Disc Center, where you go before you go under the knife.
Don't
miss your chance to meet a Green Bay legend. Saturday, December 21st from 10 to 11:30 a.m. at Studebaker. Celebrate one of the greatest offensive linemen in pro football history with an autographed signing by Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer. Purchase a Blu-ray copy of You Can If You Will, the Jerry Kramer story, to make the day even more memorable. So fuel up, grab a bite, and meet a legend at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine, where fast and fantastic meet Hall of Fame greatness.
Still searching for the perfect holiday present? Give the gift of mobility with Easy Mobility Solutions. A Golden or Pride Power Scooter or Power Chair can help your loved ones move with confidence and ease, making every outing a breeze. Or bless them with a Power Lift Recliner complete with heat and massage for year-round comfort and independence at home. As Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted power mobility provider, Easy Mobility Solutions is here to make your holidays brighter and more mobile. Visit the showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine. An estimated 200 people in Racine County are experiencing homelessness. And with the winter fast approaching, Fountain Hills Apartments is collecting new socks to help keep them warm. We invite you to join us in supporting those less fortunate this winter season. Fountain Hills Apartments is accepting new socks for men and women Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant, now through December 26th.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
There's a lot going on here at WRJN, and we want to keep you up to date so you don't miss a thing. From music stories, from news, from contests, to all the events going on around Racine, we'll keep you up to date not only on the air, but with our new WRJN newsletter. Simply go to WRJN.com. You'll find a place to enter your email address, and then we'll start sending you a weekly email to keep you up to date on all things WRJN.
And we're celebrating 98 years today. 98 years old. Tom Carco, our former news director and news personnel. Janet Hoff is here. But you didn't actually have a title. They're just news
brains of the operation. Anchor reporter or something like that, whatever.
Now, you were here, Tom, for
39
years.
Yeah.
Jan, you were here for?
I have no idea.
She was here.
Came and went a couple of times, so it's...
She came drifted with the wind.
Yeah, full-time, 14 years. Closer to 16, total.
I've got 25, so I've got about 100 years. And you had Chris Morrow in there, and you had another 15 years or whatever in there as well.
And kudos to Chris and Civic Media for everything that's happened with this station.
Oh, yeah. This is brought back to life. They just bought another one, too. They got 21.
And I just saw that yesterday, Yeah,
they buy them everywhere.
It's nice that I don't have to do fingerprints and all that to get into the building anymore.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. All right, Isabel Monk. Who's Isabel Monk?
Isabel Monk did the Ladies' Air Journal program. And she was from 1955 till about 1970. She retired in 1970. She did the program before. This is really the ladies' program before Party Line. It was a number of things related to women. And by the way, before I get to that, there was a program even before that with Lola Andre. And she was the Friendly Club, which started on April 20th of 1936. Very popular program for women. Then you've got the Ladies' Air Journal. So this is Helen Thomas. This is just an interview that she did with, again, Don Edmark, the former news director here.
So this is Isabel Monk.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Some of the greatest highlights were when I interviewed Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, and she was the most gracious person. I can see why she was known as the world's first lady. And then I interviewed a couple on their 70th wedding anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Denman. And they were the sharpest, cutest people I most ever interviewed. And I interviewed people from all over the world, from here, there, and always the American Field Service students. And it was fun, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Now, she talked about Eleanor Roosevelt. In our lobby, we have a photograph of Eleanor Roosevelt on our wall. As soon as you come in, you see it. Standing in front of a microphone with a mic flag on it. Mic flag is the thing with the call letters on it. Now, the microphone was in the basement, but previous people threw it out. But the mic flag is still there. And you see Eleanor Roosevelt talking at, I think, Wingspread.
I believe it's Wingspread. Yeah. June of 50s.
Yeah, and the mic flag in the picture is the mic flag in the lobby.
Yep.
And that's kind of neat. We also have a picture of Paul Harvey in front of that mic flag as well.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. Now,
incidentally, but Isabel Monk, in late February of 1960, she interviewed a couple of gentlemen reference of a trip to Europe that they took. That happened to be my father and Mr. John Christoffel. And they didn't know it at the time they took the trip. They were cousins.
Wow.
That my father was working for the Journal Times, and John Christoffel had won a trip. So they went to Europe, and there's pictures. They did a story on it, and they came in and talked about it with Isabel Monk. So he was on the air before I was.
Peter. Now, this is spelled the Scandinavian way. Peter.
Danish.
Peter. Danish, yeah. Peter, is it Bach pronounce it?
Peter Bach.
Peter Bach.
Now, who's Peter Bach?
He hosted the Danish program. Pretty popular here in Danish Racine.
One of my guests the other day was from Denmark in here. very popular.
That program ran Thursday nights from 1928 till 1970, he started the Scandinavian program, too, on Sunday nights in 1931.
All right. Here's Peter.
Now, I'd like to say to you, may this Christmas bring you good cheer, lots of it. And as we pause to reflect halfway down the century, I want to convey our sincere appreciation for your many kind expressions of goodwill toward our Danish radio and for your true friendship, which I treasure very much. Merry Christmas to you all. Glædelig jul. And now comes our Christmas program. We start out with the Christmas ship arrives at Copenhagen.
To remember, radio stations were different then. Every half hour or hour was a different show. It wasn't like today where they put the... Oh, there he is. That's what I picture. Yeah. It wasn't like it is today where it's a music format. It was like every hour is a different show on the radio.
It could have been every 15 minutes.
Yeah, every that's what it was originally. That's how soap operas
literally
came around. And the radio ratings are done in quarter hours because every show was a different...
Right.
Every 15 minutes. Yeah.
And during my research, I discovered that he didn't always go by Peter Bach. He went by Peter Bolle, B-O-L-L-E, which connected to his name.
Nobody would recognize
him. Well, no. But eventually, Peter Bach's Danish program became legendary on this station.
Yeah. Here's a guy, his legendary, Bill Gum.
Bill Gum was...
He's the guy who ran the whole place.
He hired me.
Oh, did he really?
Or he allowed me into the building, let's put it that way.
Back in 19-aught, what?
1979 is when I started. So Bill Gum started out here as an announcer, then moved into sales, and then became the general manager in 1969. He hired me. He did opinion pieces, editorials on the radio back in the 70s. I have copy of that, all those copies that he did. Saved several of them. His widow gave them to me graciously.
How long was he GM for?
From 69 until 86.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. And he started on one particular date, and he ended on that date 36 years later.
Let's hear him. This is Bill Gum, former general manager of the station.
As far as I'm concerned, I hope that WRJN can continue with its fine programming of news and public affairs events and community activities, and I'm sure that they will do that because it really is perhaps the only thing that we have to sell here in Racine. As with all the radio stations between Milwaukee and Chicago, you can get music and any kind of music you want. We have to specialize like radio stations are.
Now, was that you doing the interviewing there with Bill Gum?
No, he was talking with Jim Bradley, who did the morning show back then. Mm. In fact, it was his final day. It turned out to be Bill Gum's final day, and they were talking on
final
the
day in radio.
Yeah, because he was retiring.
Not his final day on Earth.
No.
Okay.
No. Bill Gum went on to become a member of the Racine County Board for a number of years. I would see him at county board meetings. He'd always stop by and say, hi, how's it going? How's the station?
Good for him.
It was good. He was tough at times.
We got a whole bunch of sound bites coming up. Plus, Mike Clemens, who does our sports at 8:50, has a little special thing for you guys. He sent me this morning. Yes.
Oh, dear.
It's nothing embarrassing. It's nothing that, you know, behind closed doors, what you did or anything. It's just he said he has something special. So we'll talk to Mike Clemens later on. It's 8:30. We're talking to Tom Carco and Janet Hoff on our 98th birthday here at WRJM. But first, let's check news in the morning. See what's going on. And here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Kenosha High School student accused of bringing a loaded gun to school appeared in court remotely yesterday. Prosecutors are looking to move his case to adult court. The teen, who isn't being named, faces charges including making terroristic threats and having a firearm on school grounds. The judge ordered the student to remain in juvenile detention, citing the seriousness of the offense. Christmas is coming, and so is that special election in Racine County. Voters in the county can go to the polls Thursday, December 19th, to cast ballots in the race for the Racine County Executive. County Clerk Wendy Christensen and businessman Ralph Malicki are running. The county is reminding people normal voting operations are in effect, and that means the opportunity to vote early. To find out more about making a plan to vote, check out myvote.wi.gov. Pearl Harbor is being remembered in Racine tomorrow. Post 310 of the American Legion is hosting a free chili dinner for veterans and the public. That'll be held at the Veterans Center on Main Street. The event gets going at 6 tomorrow. And Burlington begins with its big tradition this afternoon. Some downtown roads in Burlington get closed mid-afternoon in anticipation of the Christmas parade. That gets going at about 6:30. It follows a route on Kane Street to Milwaukee Avenue, ending at Pine and Chandler. After the parade, the mayor will light the Christmas tree in Wemhoff Square Park. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 30 this afternoon. The wind west at 15 to 25. Tonight, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 43. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
But I think the best job, like in the history of the United States, I think Vanna White got the best job ever. Is that not the best job? If I were a woman, I would want that job so bad. Like, that's her job. Like, what a country. That's all she just turns letters. I turn letters, but only when they glow. Okay, so I'm not so bad. But like, what was the interview like to get that job? What was that process? That must have been really tough. They're like, all right, let's start. Let's start the interview here. Vanna White, is that right? Okay, all right, let's start. All right, are you familiar with the alphabet? You are. Okay. If something were glowing, could you tell? You could. Wow, that wraps it up. Wow, welcome aboard. That's very impressive. That's very impressive.
The sun wouldn't rise without me. Okay. Tom.
Wow.
Tom Carco, Janet Hoffer here. We're talking about WRJN's 98th anniversary today. Is it birthday or anniversary? Anniversary.
Anniversary.
Anniversary. And over 98 years, we started December 6, 1926. And Tom, if you're just joining us, call letters that lasted, what, a few days, you said?
Basically a week.
Yeah. And the call letters back then, I think when they got the letters, they tried to make them say something. When I worked at WSB in Atlanta, they said, it stands for Welcome South, Brother. No, it didn't. That's what you made it
Somebody
stand for.
Somebody made it up.
Yeah. Same thing with...
What did it stand for?
It didn't stand for anything. It was
really?
It was letters that were given to them.
Okay.
WSB, they call Welcome South, Brother. It didn't mean anything. Actually, it was on a ship. It was a radio, and the ship went down, and the letters were then available, so they gave it to them in Atlanta.
So off a tragedy.
right. WLS in Chicago, world's largest store. They made it sound. I don't think they picked them out. I don't know if you were able to pick out letters
back
then.
You could. There were different things. I know that CFL actually did stand.
Well, the Chicago Federation of Labor. But they came later on, yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah.
W. The event that I talked about in November of 1926, where they did this testing of radio equipment and so the public could see it and hear it, they used the call letters WHBM. Okay, so obviously when the radio station, WRJN back then, WLBG began, those call letters disappeared. Ironically, a year later, in 1927, the Sheboygan Press did exactly what the Journal Times did. They started a radio station with WHBM.
Everybody started a radio station.
Yeah.
They did it to promote their products.
Yep.
And we're still doing that today.
Those call letters lasted until the end of that particular year, and then there was a dispute with the musicians' union over pay. The station went dark. Well, then they suddenly realized weeks later that we liked the radio station, so they started it up again with WHBL.
Okay. You know, and that's still around, WHBL. Yep. Still broadcasting today.
Yep.
Now, everybody predicted the end of radio when television came.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it never happened. TV is fading away with streaming and everything, but radio is still here. It's like the cockroach of communications. You can't get rid of it.
It still has a purpose in life.
Yeah. People still drive. You can't watch pictures while you're driving. Yep. People listen to podcasts, but after a while, you know, you want to, and it's free, and you don't have to diddle with it. Just hit it on your radio, and it's there in your car.
Yep.
When you jog, you can listen to it in your what do they call those things? I don't know what they call them anymore.
Earpods.
Yeah. So you can listen. It's always there, and it's free. There's never a charge for radio. Who's Lyman Marins?
Lyman Marins, announcer and program director of this here place from the late 40s until the early 70s. And this is, I forgot, what is he talking about?
Let's find out.
Was born to Mr. and Mrs. Lyman Marins at 2901 Ashland Avenue. Little boy, 6 pounds, 7 ounces. Come on in, boys. Have a cigar.
On behalf of David Mark.
Shirley, come on in. Here's a box of candy. To all the new parents from the Block Furniture Company, including me, we extend congratulations and best wishes.
Got to get that advertising in there. Got to force it in.
So that's him reading his son's birth announcement on the air as he did for how many people, including me probably.
Yeah.
In the mid-50s.
Obituaries and births. They were a big part of radio.
Yes, we know.
Yeah. I listen to old-time radio shows a lot. Oh. And Fibber McGee and Molly.
They were here.
They were here, but they were also sponsored by Johnson Wax.
Johnson Wax.
And they're working there. They always work their products into the show.
Oh, yes.
You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm cleaning my floor now with a Johnson Wax product. They always worked it in. And
see, and everyone thought product placement came with the movies.
No. Jack Benny did it on his shows. We listened to his old show. They're always working them in, no matter what they're doing. Oh, I told him to go clean the car with Johnson Wax, and they squeeze it in there.
There is a clip of them in the 90th anniversary program that I did. And it includes them talking about Johnson Wax and making mention of Mr. Wright, who created their complex, and wondering if it leaked.
And they always start off, Fibber McGee and Molly, brought to you by Johnson Wax of Racine, Wisconsin.
Yes.
They always got the Racine in there. Dex Card. He's a big name.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, ironically, Jan and I have different connections to Dex Card. He was the owner of WRJN from 1986 until late 1988. But before that,
he was the general manager of the station to the south, WLIP, and he hired me. So that's how I got
in 1978, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And then you stayed.
I'm not good with dates.
He left. Well, you were still there
and
then
here.
You left in mid-90s and then eventually came here. Yeah. And then when Dex became the owner, I can tell you this, there was almost paranoia. We were going to be sold by Century Broadcasting. Century Insurance owned us at the time. So we're going to be sold. Okay, who's going to be the owner? What's going to happen? Are we going to get fired? It was literally paranoia. And then I found out eventually that it was Dex coming in. Now, I had met Dex through Jan because we were dating at the time. And so I was at ease.
Ooh, the love connection.
But we did one of our anniversary shows. I called him up, and he was gracious. He was retired in Florida at the time, and we talked, and this is Dex Card talking about WRJN.
I felt that the continuing success of WRJN was related directly to its popularity into Racine County, and that meant tailoring the programming as it had been in the past for the local market and making local news or continuing local news is a very significant part of that format. And that's the key to any AM radio station in a small market. You've got to make yourself very local and very relevant.
Didn't he also bring 92.1 into the fold here?
Was he did, 90, yeah. WFNY at the time, which I had worked for before I came to WRJN.
And he brought them together with WRJN.
Right, oh. Because WRJN was a standalone at the time. The FM had been sold off in the late 60s and became eventually WRKR.
And V100 today in Milwaukee, 100.7, yeah.
Now, you heard the voice. Dex Card was a disc jockey on WLS during the heyday of rock and roll. He was among the many disc jockeys who did the Silver Dollar Survey in Chicago.
Silver Dollar. It sounds so corny today.
they were it.
I mean, Dex was radio. He was radio through and through, and he knew what to do with a radio station, and he did it. And we unfortunately lost him a couple of years ago.
Now, here's a guy who I had on recently, not too long ago, as part of our...
I heard that.
Yeah, as part of our memory thing. I forget what we call it already. I'm so involved with this, I forget. Historical Marker series, and you can hear it on our podcast if you want to go back and listen. It's Paul Kern, was our morning man here. Let's see what he had to say.
Particularly all of you who've listened to me over the years. Thank you so much. Thank you for the cards, the letters, the emails that I've received, the phone calls that I've gotten. And most of all, not only for just listening, but for the trust that you put in me. I've said many, many times that the people who are on in the morning are really the most trusted because you allow us into your bedrooms to wake you up in the morning, you know? And that is something that everybody who's in this business has got to always keep in mind and always respect.
That's Paul Kern. Now, Paul was here when I was here. So, yeah, he was. He's a great announcer. He's a great personality.
He started
in Kenosha with me.
Right, with Jan. So there's a connection there again. Ironically, his first.
Incestuous thing yes, going on between the Kenosha station and us. All right.
He started when I was we were on vacation at the time down in North Carolina, and they called up. And we talked on the air. It was Paul's first day on the air. I mean, he had a great career down in Kenosha. And then he came here and lasted until he decided enough's enough. And good for him. He had the chance to leave on his own terms.
When is enough enough? What is that date? I don't know what that date is.
You know. Anybody who's decided to not work anymore, you kind of know when that time is.
Let's talk about history here with Ralph Schoenleben. Mm-hmm. He has not only history here at WRJN, he's got the longest continuous radio show hosted by the same person in radio history. Ralph Schoenleben, how many, 50 some odd years?
Over like 53 plus years.
53 plus years. And I worked with Ralph here. I've got some funny Ralph stories.
There's great Ralph stories.
Yeah. I remember one day he had a website and an email name because he sold classical music at a bookstore here in town.
Oh, I bought something from him once and didn't realize who it was.
Yeah. And his handle was Ralphie Boy. And I started laughing one day. I said, Ralphie Boy, you're like 90 years old. And he changed it. And I said, what? Because you were laughing at it. Other people were laughing. I said, I was just kidding around. It's just to see a 90-year-old guy named Ralphie Boy. I mean, it's just... Anyway, I spoke at his funeral. I think I told that story at his funeral as well.
We remember.
Yeah. Okay, here's Ralph Schoenleben. He is historic. Here he is.
It's a Sunday evening concert, the oldest continuous classical program in the United States. Presented by Cook Gear Media. This is Ralph Schoenleben.
Yeah, Cook Gear Media. Yeah. That was it, yeah. And he had people drive him here to do his shows.
Yep.
And toward the end, we taped them, and we had somebody run them because he couldn't drive here on Sunday nights by himself. And even after he passed away, we ran them every Sunday night because unbeknownst to me, the person here who was operating the board, they call them board operators, operating the station, was recording them on CD, and I didn't know that.
Yep.
And one day he said, what do you want to do with all these Ralph Schoenleben shows? I said, what do you mean? He said, I recorded 2 years worth. Whoa.
Yeah.
Talk about a blessing to have those things. Wow. Okay.
A lot of people listen to those programs.
We got a parade clip. What's that?
It's a clip of parade, and I believe Janet Hoff is involved in this capacity, and the current host of this particular show.
Was this done for my front lawn?
Yes.
I got pictures of that.
I believe so.
You and Kurt Vollman on my front porch.
Well, Paul and I did it, too.
Oh, yeah, Paul Kern and you, right, yeah.
This involves the two of you.
Okay, because we actually did the broadcast, because I live on Main Street, and we actually did them for my front lawn.
So it was free rent.
Yeah. Oh, that was free? Okay, hold on. Here we go.
This is a very interesting place. This lady, Don, get out there, see if you can catch her. This is Evelyn Covell. Evelyn Covell always wanted to be in a parade.
Hey, Evelyn!
She'll be 100 years old in August, and so her caregiver said, let's put Evelyn in the parade.
Hello?
You're going to be 100, huh?
Yes, August 5th.
Well, happy birthday to you, and happy 4th of July. You look fantastic. Your red, white, and blue outfit, white shirt, red blazer, blue slacks.
Thank you.
Could have been worse. I could have said, you look hot for 100 years old. I could have done something stupid like that, but I didn't.
I do remember that now.
Okay, now we also want to get these clips in the Blue Angels.
Oh, yeah. 1989, I believe, was the first of the air shows in Racine. And the Department of Defense Secretary at the time...
Les Aspin, the former
congressman of this district who had a lot of clout.
Yeah.
And helped get the air show into Racine. It was part of the St. Catherine's Fest, the Angel Fest that was taking place at the time. And they got the Blue Angels in. And this was some of the descriptive comments during one of the shows.
One upside down, one right side up. Here they come, the Blue Angels. This is Gary Sewer, WRJN News.
Rod Richards, once again live down in Racine's lakefront. Mayor Ovan Davies with me right now, and you got a big smile on your face, Mayor.
Oh, this is tremendous. What a big day for the city of Racine. Wherever you look, in any direction, it's nothing but people, and that's great.
Mayor, thanks for stopping by. Let's get another official in here, if we could, for just a minute. Our county executive, Dennis Cornwolf, you also have a big smile on your face.
Oh, this is great. Just fantastic, isn't it? Showcased Racine County.
Oh, it's so great to hear Gary Sewer again and Ron Richards.
Everybody remembers Gary from doing sports.
Yeah.
Well, that's legendary. But, you know, he became the news director in 1986 until 98 and did both jobs amazingly. And, yeah, he did a lot of other things.
Yeah.
All right. Extra credit.
Yeah.
If you can name Les Aspin's dog's name. He always had a dog with him. You remember?
No.
Junket.
Junket?
Mm-hmm. Junket.
Junket the dog.
I remember
Junket. He had this, you know, like a rescue kind of dog, and was always with him.
I remember Junket rendered custard.
Yeah.
Remember that dessert?
We found at an estate sale, I believe, a wine glass that had, from that air show, Les Aspin's name was engraved on it.
Oh, wow. Got it?
Yeah. We got it at home.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
Talking to Tom Karko, Janet Hoff. We're talking about the 98th anniversary of WRJN. And coming up next, the former morning man. We have him here. Mike Clements is going to be on the line with us in just a moment. Yeah, oh, that guy. Luckily, he can't hear you. I think he's in Detroit. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Mike in just a moment, get some sports. And he's got something for... Tom and Jan as well. That's straight ahead.
Hi, this is Earl Ingram. If you're looking for me this morning, I'm still around. You can find me at all the Civic Media talk shows over on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app with the same meaningful talk you've come to expect from Civic Media. Meanwhile, continue to enjoy your local news and timeless hits only found here on WRJN.
It's the fourth day of the WRJN 12 Deals of Christmas. Happy 8 Collectibles at Southridge Mall. Your stop for toys, comics, sports memorabilia, and the second annual HappyCon next weekend. From December 13th through 15th at Southridge Mall, enjoy vendors, gaming, and celebrity guests like WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle on the 14th from 11 to 6. Go to WRJN.com, click the Big Deals banner, and purchase $20 gift certificates for just $10. Today only with the WRJN 12 Deals of Christmas.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. meaning if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Yeah, we're talking about our 98th anniversary today. We have Tom Carco, Janet Hoff here. And now we've got Mike Clemens, former morning man here at WRJN. Now he does sports for the entire civic media chain, including WRJN. And I got to tell you, Mike, I turned on the game last night. I was listening to it just to hear the score. And then I couldn't put it off because it was Detroit's in the lead, Packers in the lead, Detroit's in the lead, Packers in the lead. Detroit. It kept going back and forth. It was exciting.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to go into overtime, frankly, until the Lions were able to march down the field. And then they went on a controversial fourth and one. They were at their own 21-yard line, and they could have just kicked a field goal. But there was 43 seconds left, and Dan Campbell, they call him Dangerous Dan, did not want to let Jordan Love back on the field with just even 43 seconds left. So they went for it on fourth and one. The quarterback, Jared Goff, almost fell. I mean, actually, he did fall on one knee, but still managed to hand off to his running back, David Montgomery, who ran off to the right-hand side, picked up 7 yards. That way the Lions could run another play or two, then kicked a field goal with no time left while Jordan Love sat there and watched. He didn't get another chance, and so the Lions ended up winning 34-31. They've now won 11 games in a row. That set a franchise record that was back in 1934, 90 years that it's been since they won that many games, and they clinched a playoff spot.
I got to tell you, I had to turn it off when it was tied. I couldn't take the tension anymore. My wife was trying to sleep. I say, Detroit, they took the lead again. Oh, wait a second. They kicked the field goal. It's a tie now. She, I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
You know, there was a big turn. Here's how the game started. So they're about to do the national anthem. And you know how they get those volunteers to hold out the U.S. flag across the field?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a guy on guitar that was performing the national anthem. Well, one of these guys was a Lions fan. He's wearing his Brian Branch, the safety of the Lions, number 32 jersey. He's looking back at the Packers sideline. He's close by there, and he starts doing that cutthroat signal with his hands to the Packer players, like, we're going to slit your throats tonight. LaFleur sees him and says, hey, knock it off, and started swearing at the guy. So then the guy, starts laying into LaFleur, and they're going at it face-to-face. So the officials, the referees of the game had to go in there and break it up between the two before security came down. I think they let the guy go back to his assignment while holding the flag, but it really ticked off LaFleur, like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be out here for the national anthem, not trash-talking my players. The game starts off that way. LaFleur elects to defer. They win the toss, so they let the Lions try and score. Well, they did. They did. They marched on the field. They were up 7-0. Now Jordan Love gets the ball, and on the first play, Jordan Love tries to throw a pass, and he gets sacked by Za'Darius Smith, the former Packers linebacker who since left for the Vikings, then the Browns, now got signed by the Lions. The thing that I think the Packers are surprised about is that the Lions are so banged up, especially on defense. The Lions have 18 players now on the injured reserve list, 13 of them are defensive players. They've got second and third string guys that are signing off the street, and still they managed to go toe-to-toe with the Packers and win the game at home last night at Ford Field.
I know, and at one time Jordan Love had trouble communicating with the players because the fans were so loud, and they do that on purpose sometimes. They were so loud, he couldn't even talk to his players. He had to call a timeout.
Ford,
yeah.
Yeah. Ford Field has well, first of all, down to this is like the 21st time I've covered Packers at Lions at Ford Field, and it used to be you'd walk in there and the Lions fans didn't get in there till about the second quarter. About 40% of the seats were people actually wearing green and gold jerseys. And downtown Detroit, you know, had its challenges. Fast forward, downtown Detroit is beautiful. I mean, they've really changed that city in just 10 or 12 years. And when you get inside the field, it's all Hawaiian blue Lions jerseys. A half hour before the game, I posted a video of this where they're already chanting and they got cheerleaders out there. And I mean, that's just an intense atmosphere. That's as tough, if not tougher, than U.S. Bank or some of these indoor places for the Packers to play on the road.
Let's talk about you for a second here. We're doing our 98th anniversary. We have Tom Carco, Janet Hoff here in the studio. Now, was I the guy who did I hire you here as a part-time employee?
Yes, sir.
So I'm the guy.
Yes, sir. We needed somebody to fill in for Ted Ayland, who was doing the afternoon show, or sometimes your morning show on our FM station at the time.
Yeah.
And I was free, and you and I had known each other over the years. And, yeah, you gave me a chance to be a part of the station. And it's not long that you work at WRJN, and especially working with Tom and Jan is, you know, the heritage. And you know, the people that work there care about this station.
Yeah.
And then I find out great stories, like one I discovered, just sort of digging around, about once upon a time, WRJN had a polka show on Sunday afternoons, live polka, where the bands would actually come in. So there was this kid named Julius Kaczynski from Abrams, Wisconsin, 19, 20-year-old kid. He played accordion, and he had a little polka band, and they were playing. Gene Autry, this is like in the 1930s. The station had been on the air for about 10 years or so. Gene Autry was one of the biggest stars on the planet. I mean, first he was in the movies as the singing cowboy, a radio show, the Christmas songs like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, real estate, bought the Angels, huge guy. He had played a big show in Chicago on Saturday, and then he was playing another show on a Sunday evening in Sheboygan. His agent was driving up from Chicago to Sheboygan, sort of an advance team guy, and his car started to break down on the old Highway 15, which is now 41. So he pulls off into Racine County and into a gas station that, you know, used to have repairs, you know, going on a Sunday afternoon. And while he's waiting for his car to get fixed, WRJN is playing in the garage. And he hears this polka band. And he says to the guys, "Where's this station at?" "Well, just over there down the street." So when his car gets fixed, he drives to the radio station, gets there before the band is done performing, and introduces himself in the parking lot and says, "Hey, kid, you guys are really good. Listen, how'd you like to open for Gene Autry tonight?" "Yeah, sure." So they follow this guy up to Sheboygan. They open for Gene Autry. Gene likes him, introduces him to the Grand Ole Opry. This kid changes his name to Pee Wee King, and he wrote the hit songs like the Tennessee Waltz and You Belong to Me, which was a hit on the radio on WRJN back in the 50s.
Here's a little clip of it.
I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz, the beauty.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
So we got Tom and Jan here, and they want to say hello to you because you were morning man here for how long in this seat?
8 years.
8 years. Okay. And you work with them every morning doing news.
Michael, hi.
Hey, man. How's
hi,
it going?
Tom.
So that's it after all these years? Hi.
Yeah.
We
go out to breakfast every once in a while.
So
yeah, missed that.
So it's just a big history. You know, over 98 years, I wonder how many morning men were here at WRJN.
Oh, good grief.
Well, they haven't that many news directors.
Well, the new Journal Times owned the station up until 69, and then it was standalone news, and that's when Don Edmark was hired out of Kenosha to start up a news operation here. He was the first. Gary Sewer was the second. I was the third. Stuart J. Waddles is the fourth.
That's it. Four.
Since 1969.
Wow. Four news directors, yeah.
That's great. And that's just it. I mean, there's just a tradition in the station, and the listeners depend on this station, you know, for the information, for the connection, and occasionally the polka song. You know what I'm saying?
And I've got news for you. I'm not just blowing smoke here. nobody does sports like you on the radio.
Amen. Exactly. Yes.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that the station gives me the latitude to, you know, to be able to cover like the Packers all over. I covered the Brewers, you know, in Fenway Park last year. When we're trying to bring that, you know, straight to the radio, what the players and coaches are saying after the game.
Good having you here, Mike. We'll talk to you next Friday once again.
Happy anniversary, everybody. It's good to talk to you guys, Tom and Jan. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye now. All right. I think he's in Detroit.
Yeah.
Because I think that area code I called was in Detroit. Wow. You guys are great.
He works hard.
We'll have to bring you back during the year. We got to talk more about this. We just touched the surface.
Time is up.
I know.
Don't forget, tomorrow is December 7th, and never forget that date.
Yep, day that will live in infamy.
That changed the course of history.
Right. Were you ever at Pearl Harbor?
No.
I went there once, and you get to walk above the ships that are under there. The superstructure.